Good morning, Red Chapel, from wherever you're watching from this morning. I want to thank you for joining us today, and wow, wasn't that worship service amazing? That was powerful. I want to say thank you to our worship team that during this time has been creative and been just pouring themselves out even more to making sure that we have an incredible Sunday morning worship experience. I think we're on about day number 30, maybe, of this quarantine. 30 days feels like 30 years, and I don't know about you, but I'm ready for it all to be over. I'm getting tired of waiting, and we've been doing a series right now. We're talking about waiting. We're in a series called In the Meantime. We're talking about what to do when you wait, and all of us right now, we're currently in a time of waiting. We're waiting to be able to get out of the house. Maybe some of you right now are waiting to go back to work. If you've called any businesses right now, this has become extremely annoying. You call anywhere, you hear, will you please be patient, because wait times are a lot longer than normal. So this is becoming a frustrating season of waiting. Here's the truth about waiting is that this isn't the first time that we've been in a waiting pattern, and I promise you it won't be the last. In fact, in life, there are times when we are placed in a waiting pattern, a waiting room, so to speak. Times in life when it feels like the pause button has been hit. There are actually seasons in our relationship with God, in fact, when it feels like we're at a standstill. We're waiting. And at first glance, these moments, these seasons, they seem to be worthless. They're frustrating, but I'm challenging us during this season of waiting not to allow a waiting season to become a wasted season. And in fact, some of the greatest moments in our walk with God, some of my greatest moments in my relationship with Jesus, have been born out of a waiting season. I'm discovering during this quarantine that some of the greatest memories with your loved ones can take place within the waiting season. So it's important how you wait, what to do while you are waiting. And so today specifically, we're talking about this principle to make the most of our waiting. In order to do that, I want to talk about this big idea. We talked a couple weeks ago about not worrying while you wait. And today I want to talk about this idea. I want to challenge you. I want to caution you with this idea not to wander while you wait. When we're waiting, there's a temptation to wander. Even though the truth is, wandering is possibly the worst thing that you can do in a season of waiting. You always hear this in the context of hiking and outdoor activities. They'll say things like, if you get lost, don't wander. Whatever you do. Growing up, I was involved in Boy Scouts. Shout out to Troop 116 this morning. And when we'd go on these hikes or we'd go on a camping trip, our leader would always tell us, should something happen, should you get lost or get separated from the group, we want you to stay positioned right where you're at. Don't wander off. In fact, they had a handbook, and it would say that in most cases, it's easier to find someone if they just stay in one place. So the worst thing that you can do in a waiting season is to wander off. And this morning, I want to take a look at the children of Israel in a season of waiting that they were in. We see the same thing happen when we look at the story of God's people. After God had delivered them from Egypt, the Israelites were supposed to be taking possession of the promised land, Canaan, but it didn't happen immediately. There was this waiting season. There was this in the meantime between being freed from being slaves in Egypt until they occupied the land of Canaan. And during that season, the children of Israel found themselves, they're disobeying God, and as a result, they begin to wander. They wandered spiritually, they wandered physically, they wandered from their faith in God, they wandered ultimately from their spiritual destiny. In fact, as we're going to see this morning, they end up going back to a slave-type mentality. And then as a result, the people, not only did they wander spiritually, but they began to wander physically as well. In fact, for 40 years, you talk about a long, I mean, we're on 30 days. Could you imagine 40 years, for 40 years, the Israelites physically wandered in the wilderness. In fact, after they left the city called Kadesh Barnea, where the spies had originally brought the report, the precise whereabouts of the children of Israel cannot be traced from that point for the next 37 years. We don't know what they did for 37 years. And when we do pick back up 37 years later, we find that they've returned right back to the same city of Kadesh Barnea. And so apparently they've just wandered in one big circle for 37 years. Can you imagine that? That's a whole lot of wandering just to end up right back where you have started. Maybe some of you can relate to that this morning. And even worse, eventually an entire generation of people died because they wandered. We've heard stories like this of people that have wandered off and ultimately been found later dead. Why? Because it's dangerous to wander in a season of waiting. And times of waiting, that's what they can lead to. They can lead to us, if we're not careful, they can lead to us wandering, to walking around aimlessly, or even just casually, leisurely, just wandering around in a season of waiting. And maybe this morning, during our season of waiting, or maybe the proverbial season of waiting that's transpiring in your life, maybe you're particularly tempted right now to wander. Maybe it's because you don't have the accountability of being together in person. Maybe you're tempted to wander today because you have too much time on your hands. I remember growing up, my mother would tell me that an idle mind is the devil's playground, because you just naturally tend to wander. Maybe you're tempted to wander by just getting lazy during this season of waiting. But if we want to make the most of our waiting season, we can't do what the people of Israel did. We have to be careful not to wander while we wait. And so I know you're saying this morning, well, how do we do that, Pastor Don? How do we keep ourselves from naturally, our natural inclination to wander, to just walk aimlessly during the seasons of waiting? I want to give you three ways this morning. And the first one is, I want to challenge you to focus your eyes. This is one of the best ways that you can keep from wandering, especially spiritually. Some of you are in a proverbial state of waiting right now. In other words, you have to look very clearly at the things that God has already done and the things that God is currently doing in your life. You got to bring those things into focus. Some of you probably have one of the more modern phones today that allows you to take pictures. And whenever you're using your camera on your phone, right, and you're wanting to take a picture, you want whatever you're taking a picture of to be in focus. But have you ever tried taking a picture of something that's a little further off and then just take your hand? You could try this morning. Take your hand and put it in front of the camera, right? And you can see this right now. And the camera will automatically focus on your hand, right? And then what it does is it makes everything else in the peripheral begins to make it blurry. And the reason is because our phones, they have an autofocus where it automatically assumes you're trying to take a picture of your hand, of the thing that is closest to you. And I want to just use that as an illustration to encourage you this morning that we need to learn to train our eyes to autofocus on the things that God is doing for us, on the things that God has already done for us in the past. And that was the problem with the people of Israel, is their eyes were focused on the wrong things. Their eyes were focused on their enemies. And so everything, including everything that God had done, everything that God had promised, it became blurry to them. You understand that even during this time of waiting, God had done some incredible, very visible, undeniable miracles for them. I mean, God's already delivered them out of Egypt. And then every day God provides what he called manna, food from heaven delivered. I mean, it's like they had Postmates every morning with miraculous food brought to them. God's doing these undeniable, visible miracles. And they can't see it. All they can see is their enemies. All they can see is the misery that they're going through during this time of waiting. I want to ask you this morning, do you see the miracles or do you see the misery? I want to challenge you to auto-focus this morning, to bring into focus what you see, the things that God is doing in your life, the things that God has already done in your life. And furthermore, God had made incredible promises to the children of Israel. He had promised them this land of Canaan. but that had grown blurry to them because they had focused their attention on their enemies. As a result, what they do, they started to wander. And so instead of looking at the problems, they begin, or instead of looking at the promises of God, they begin to focus on the problems. I want to challenge you this morning to bring God's promises in to focus and allow all your problems to become blurry. Watch this. In Numbers chapter 17, they give Moses this account. They said, "We went into the land which you sent us." Now watch this. They said it does flow with milk and honey. They said, "Here is its fruit." They bring back the fruit. They bring back grapes, vines of grapes that take two men to carry. So they can see what God's promised them. But watch this. They allow that to get blurry as they bring into focus. Watch this. They said, "But the people who live there, they're powerful. The cities are fortified and they're very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there." They said there's giants there. There's giants there. They allowed their problems, they allowed their obstacles to blur out the promises and the opportunities that God had already promised them. And during this time of waiting, hear me this morning, we have to choose to focus on God, to focus on our destiny in Him. We can't let our focus get onto other things and let our view of God get blurry. We can't focus on the news and let our view of God get blurry. We can't let our attention be dominated by worry and fear about the future and let our view of God get blurry. We got to autofocus. We got to choose today that God is my focus in the time of waiting, that I'm focusing on God's word, that I'm focusing on God's promises. You know what will happen? You'll find yourself not wandering. This is how you keep yourself from wandering during a time of waiting, is you've got to focus your eyes. Focus your eyes. And then once you focus your eyes, the second thing you need to do this morning, I want to challenge you, is you need to fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. See, focusing your eyes on God, it means in part controlling your thought life so that your thoughts are all about God and your thoughts are about everything else, including who you are, what your future is, and what has been dictated by God to who you are going to become. You've got to fix your thoughts. And I think this is one of the things that derailed the children of Israel and caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. I don't know about you, but I don't want my waiting season to turn into a forever season. I don't want this season that God's got me in right now that was meant to be temporary to last longer than it was supposed to because I didn't control my thought patterns, because I didn't control what I was thinking about and caused me to wander in a wilderness. Did you know that words translated as wilderness occurred nearly 300 times in the Bible? And the most common Hebrew word refers often to a wild field where wild animals live. They say that the wilderness is an unsettled and an uncultivated tract of land. Have you ever found yourself in a wilderness? You've allowed your mind to wander into the wilderness. A place that's uncultivated, that's unsettled, where wild animals just run free. Some of us, I think we do this, we get into the wilderness, the place where we allow our thoughts just to run wild. Uncultivated thoughts to just go wherever they please. I want to challenge you, especially during this season, or maybe you find yourself in a proverbial waiting season right now. Do not allow your thoughts to run wild in the wilderness. It's important that we cultivate our thoughts, that we call to attention our thoughts, that we bring every thought captive, that we control our thoughts and don't allow our thoughts to control us. I mean, here's the Israelite spies, right? When they come back, they let their thoughts run wild. Watch what they say. It wasn't just enough to say that there's big people there, there's giants there. Watch what they said. They said, when we saw the Nephilim there, right? The giants, the descendants of Anak. They said, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. So it started with their focus. They said, we saw the giants, and then watch, it transitions to their thoughts. It goes from what they see to now how they start thinking about themselves. Now they've allowed their thoughts to run wild. not only do they see the giants, but now they start thinking of themselves in terms of grasshoppers. This is what happens. We lose sight of God, and then we lose control of our thoughts. And then, worse, watch what they said. They said, and we looked the same to them. It was first what they were seeing, next what they were thinking. We're getting this to just in a few moments, but eventually it formed who they became. And so at best here, the disciples, they're stretching the truth, their imagination and their thoughts, they're getting away from them. The Israelites had enough, watch this, they had enough faith to walk through the Red Sea. But the moment they encountered some resistance, their thoughts got away from them onto something negative, and that was the end of their story. They had lived for a lot of years as slaves. And even though they were conquerors through God's power, their thoughts went back to being slaves, back to having slave thoughts instead of conqueror thoughts. I'm telling you, it's dangerous to wander in the wilderness. Why? Because when we allow our minds to wander, just like the children of Israel, our thoughts naturally go towards the negative. It's like water, right? Water always finds the easiest path naturally. And our minds, they always find the negatives to think about naturally. They always go back to what's most familiar. So sometimes our self-esteem is so low that even if we hear good things, we still disregard it and we choose to think slave thoughts. I want to challenge somebody today. You've got to fix your thoughts. You've got to take your thoughts captive. You've got to be in control of what you are thinking. Watch what happens to the children of Israel. Numbers chapter 14. And all the Israelites, they start grumbling. I don't know about you, but about our house, we're on day 30 now, and there's been some grumbling. I'm not going to lie. There's been some grumbling. This is naturally what our minds tend to go towards. In fact, this frustrated God. Other passages tell us that the children of Israel, they grumbled, they complained. I don't know if you're not careful. Some of you, maybe you've caught yourself, you're grumbling and you're complaining during this quarantine. Maybe you're in a season of waiting right now, and this is where our thoughts, our mind naturally goes to, is to the negative, to grumbling and complaining. And in fact, this is what they, watch what happens to the children of Israel. They're grumbling against Moses and Aaron. They said to him, if only we had died in Egypt. Watch where their minds go back to. They were slaves for 400 years, captured and enslaved by the Egyptians for 400 years. And now they're in this just a short period, what was meant to be a short season of waiting. And they start complaining and said, only if we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. And then watch, they start to blame God. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children, watch how they start to play out the future. This is what our minds naturally do. Our wives and children, they're going to be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to just go back to Egypt? Have you ever noticed that about your thoughts? If you just naturally let them go, they always want to go backwards. Oh, that we were back in Egypt. They always go towards the familiar. They always go backwards. If you don't control your thoughts, it'll take you backwards, away from where God was trying. God's trying to take them to Canaan. God's trying to take them forward to the promised land. But they've allowed their thoughts to run rampant. It's taking them, oh, that we were back in Egypt. Oh, that we were back in Egypt. The enemy would love to get inside of your mind this morning and love to deceive you to think that your best days are behind you. I want to tell you this morning, the best days that God has for you, they're ahead of you. There's nothing to go back to. There's nothing that should cause you to want to return back to another place in your life when God's got so much in your future. That's God's, your future so full of promises, so full of victory. You're called to be conquerors. There's no reason to go back, to go back. See, slave thoughts don't help you in a time of waiting. They lead to wandering. This is what a slave mentality. See, a slave mentality will not allow you to occupy a palace. A slave mentality will not allow you to take hold of your destiny. And so that's why I'm telling you this morning, in this season of waiting, you've got to fix your thoughts. You've got to set your
thoughts. Paul says it like this in Philippians chapter 4. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true. This is one of my favorite verses. In fact, one day I think I'll have this as a tattoo. Fix your thoughts, he says, on what is true, what is honorable, what is right. You notice what Paul's saying here? He's saying you've got to determine what you're thinking about. You've got to fix, you've got to set your mind on certain things. It's got to be things that are true, that are honorable, things that are right, things that are pure. Imagine if the children of Israel had determined what they were going to think about. Think about things that are true, that are lovely, that are admirable. Think about things that are excellent. Think about things, he says, that are worthy of praise. I want to ask you this morning, what are your thoughts fixed on these days? What are your thoughts fixed on? Are your thoughts in control of you, or are you in control of your thoughts today? The truth is, many of us would probably say today that our thoughts are running the show, that our thoughts are starting to get awake. Come on, if we're honest this morning, in the season of waiting, some of us have allowed our thoughts to get away from us. And the recipe for making the most of our waiting is to fix your thoughts, to fix your thoughts, to set your thoughts. You can decide what thoughts you allow to exist inside your head. You can decide what you choose to dwell on. You can decide that I'm not going to dwell on negative things, not to dwell on the maybes or the what ifs. Instead, I'm going to dwell on heavenly things, the definite certainties of who God is, who we are in Him, and what our destiny is promised to us through God. You have to constantly learn to fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. And eventually, if you'll do this, if you'll focus your eyes and you'll fix your thoughts, it'll form who you become, which is my third and last point this morning. This is the way that you avert wandering in the wilderness, is you've got to form your mind. So in order not to wander while we wait, we need to form our mind. This is what happens as you begin to focus your eyes, fix your thoughts. What will happen is you'll be formed by God. And so as the people of Israel, as they failed this way. They failed to focus their eyes and fix their thoughts. They also failed to form into the people that God wanted them to be. They became complainers instead of conquerors. God's trying to form something inside of his people. He's trying to take them from a slavery mindset into a mindset of being conquered. He's trying to form a new identity inside of them. In case you don't know this, when you put your faith in Jesus, there's a forming process that begins to take place. Yeah, sure, God's delivered you from sin. He's brought you out from where you were, but there's a forming process that God's trying to take place inside of your life in order for you to be able to inhabit the places, the palace that he's trying to take you to. This is why Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, he says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, right? He says, but I want you to be transformed. How does he say? You know how you're formed? By the renewing of your mind. You know how you can be formed into what God wants you to become? It's by the renewing of your mind. Listen to me. Don't conform during this time of waiting. Don't conform to the way everybody else is thinking. I know everybody's complaining right now. Everybody's grumbling. Everybody sees all the promises or all of the problems. That's the easy way of thinking right now. Don't be conformed to the thinking of this world. You know what you need to be doing right now? You need to be allowing your mind to be transformed, transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is what God wants for us in this season. See, what appears right now to be a frustrating season, it's actually a forming season. God's trying to form a new identity inside of you. You have the chance to form your future. Listen, your future is going to come about one of two ways, either by default or by design. And so you can just allow the winds of life and with the things that are taking place during this season of waiting to be your default. Or you can say, I'm going to design the future that God has prepared for me in mind. I don't know about you, but I want a future that's by design, not just by default. I don't want to just conform to the way that everybody else is thinking. I want to be transformed by the renewing
of my mind. My mind. And finally, in this time of waiting, this is what I really want to encourage you with this morning. In this time of waiting, in order not to wander, in order not to walk around aimlessly, even leisurely, just casually, just going with the whims of life, in order for you not to wander, this is a pivotal time for some of us right now. And in order for us not to wander, in order for us to reach our destiny, you have to move forward. You have to move forward. See, the people of Israel, they're literally on the verge of entering the promised land. They're on the verge of claiming their destiny. For 400 years, they've been enslaved. And they're about to step into the promises, everything that God had ordained for them. All they had to do was to go forward, but they didn't believe that they could do it. See, because they had focused their eyes and they had fixed their thoughts on the wrong things, the strength of their enemies, instead of focusing on the promises of God. They were looking back to what could have been, looking back to what was familiar, instead of surging forward into the promises that God had for them. They were paralyzed from moving. Listen to me this morning. God's plan for you in this season of waiting is to move forward. To move forward. God's wanting you to take new ground. God's wanting you to move forward. Some of you right now are feeling paralyzed by this season of waiting. Paralyzed by your inability. Paralyzed by your insecurity. That you don't think in this moment that you have the ability to move forward, that you don't think it's optional for you to possess the promises that God has you. Some of you are reverting back right now to the slave mentality instead of conquer mentality that will call you to take possession of what God has for you. I was talking to my wife about this sermon, and she brought to my attention that there were some experiments that were done in which groups of dogs were administered these electric shocks. And one group was able to stop the shocks by pressing against a lever. The other group, they could not stop the shocks, so no matter what they did, they couldn't stop the shocks. And so when all of the dogs were placed in a cage, and then simultaneously they were given these shocks, those that had been able to control the shocks in the past, they leapt over the small wall to freedom. But the other dogs, they didn't even attempt to leave despite the pain from the shock. They had what's called learned helplessness. This is what I think the children of Israel were struggling with. They had this learned helplessness. They had been beat down. They had been slaves for 400 years. 400 years. This is why they had to wander around the wilderness for 40 years. There was an entire generation that had to die off before God's people could take possession of the land that he had already promised them. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend a lifetime controlled by the wrong type of thinking to eventually die off in the wilderness because I was wandering. Sometimes we suffer. We suffer from this learned helplessness. Like the Israelites, we're on the verge of the promised land. Like the dogs in those experiments. And yet our perception of our own inability keeps us from moving forward. It was a miracle in and of itself enough that God had pulled. In fact, they said in the experiments that the dogs, they had to pull these dogs out of those cages. Because they just had learned that they were helpless. And in some ways, I wonder if the 10 plagues that God sent to Egypt was actually to pull the children of Israel out of slavery. That was a miracle in and of itself, but they still couldn't bring themselves to walk into the promised land that God had for them. And so an entire generation, one of the saddest stories of God's people, an entire generation has to die off before they're able to enter into the promised land. I want to tell you that especially in the current circumstances that we are in, many of us, we have a very keen sense of our own inability right now. And we have to be careful that that doesn't lead us to a state of learned helplessness where we just give up or we stay still, or worse yet, some of us, the enemy's trying to get us to turn around and to retreat.
But in spite of certain things that are out of control, listen to me, we can move forward. We can move forward in our spiritual lives towards God, towards our destiny. We have to believe that this morning. We have to do that this morning. Maybe you can't move forward physically in all the ways that maybe you want to, but we can move forward spiritually. We can move towards our destiny. That's what God wants for us during this time, that we would move forward towards our destiny by fixing our eyes, focusing our thoughts, and ultimately being formed into what God wants us to be. I wonder this morning, what is it right now that God's trying to form inside of you? I don't know about you, but I don't want this waiting season to be a wasted season. I want to be keen. I want to alert my senses. I want to discover, what is it, God, that you're trying to prepare me for? What are you trying to form inside of me to allow me to enter the places of promise that you've already destined for me? I want to pray with you today, because I know during seasons of waiting, our natural inclination is for our mind to wander around aimlessly, and for this waiting season to be a wasted season of our life. And I don't want that for you. Friends, I don't want that for any of you this morning. I feel like right now is the most opportune time for God to be formed inside of us. Maybe some of you right now, the enemy is convincing you that you can't go forward, that you'll never be. Maybe some of you right now, you're sleeping on some of the promises that God's given you, that God's promised you the proverbial land filled with milk and honey, that God's promised you that he showed you that into your future, but you're living in a state of helplessness right now. You're reverting back to your past. You're looking at your insecurities and your inabilities to be able to conquer what's ahead of you, to defeat the enemy maybe that's within sight of you. Hear me this morning. If you'll focus your eyes, if you'll right now, instead of allowing God to be blurry during this time, what if you auto-focus this morning? What if you bring God closer into view today? How big God is. What if right now you start to begin to bring the promises of God into clear view? Let me tell you what will happen. Just like that camera phone, all of the problems will begin to blur. All of the reasons why you can't enter into your promised land, they begin to blur as God comes in to focus. Some of you this morning, you need to fix your thoughts. You've allowed your train of thought to just run off the tracks this morning. God's calling you to bring your thoughts into captivity today. And then for some of us, I wonder right now, what is it that God's trying to form inside of you? What if we take this frustrating season and we allow it to become a forming season? Would you make that your prayer with me this morning? Would you make yourself available that God, whatever you're trying to do inside of me, I don't want to get distracted. I don't want to lose focus. I want to allow you to be formed. The scripture says that Christ is formed in us. Maybe you're watching this morning and you can relate to some of the frustrations that I'm talking about today during this waiting season. You can relate to some of the insecurities and all of the inabilities that are exposing themselves and overwhelming your thinking today. I'm here to tell you today that Christ wants to be formed in you. You could start that today. You could start the forming process right now. Right now, in this moment, by just accepting Christ into your life today as your personal Savior. In fact, if that's you right now, if you're watching this morning, you've never accepted Christ into your life, I want to give you that opportunity. Would you just pray this prayer with me right now? Come on, wherever you're at, if you're in this moment right now and you can sense that God is calling you closer to Him and into a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus, would you pray this with me right now? Would you say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry that I've strayed away from you, but today I'm running back to you. I'm accepting your Son, Jesus, into my life as my Lord and my Savior." And I want you to say this with me, saying, "I believe." Come on, say this with me. Change your thinking this morning. I want you to say, "I believe that I will never be the same again." In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, that's so exciting this morning. If you just prayed that prayer with us this morning, right now, we have some moderators on whatever platform that you're watching from this morning. We have moderators online right now. Would you reach out to them and let them know? In fact, there's a button. You can raise your hand right now and let us know that you just accepted Christ today. Would you hit that button? Would you let one of our moderators know that right now you've started the forming? What the enemy meant for a frustrating season, today you have started a forming. I'm excited. We're excited as a church to walk alongside of you and to see what God is going to form inside of you. So would you reach out to one of those moderators right now and let them know you've started your journey with Christ. We want to come alongside of you and ensure that you reach your promised land, that you reach the destiny that God had originally designed for you. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I feel a lot better this morning. I'm bringing Christ into focus. I'm fixing my thoughts, and I'm not wasting this season. I'm going to allow Christ to be formed in me. I want to thank you, Red Chapel, for being with us virtually this morning. I want you to know that Sonia and I miss you deeply. Seriously, we can't wait until we get to see you together in person. But I want to thank you for devoting yourselves to this Sunday morning, to making time with your family, to still be in church this morning, to still be together with the community of believers. I want to encourage you today that this is a temporary season. This is a waiting season. It's temporary. That God's not done. That God's not finished with what he's wanting to do with you and with what he's wanting to do with us as a church. So I thank you. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to say thank you to you this morning for joining us. Welcome home. Welcome to Red Chapel. And we look forward to worshiping with you next Sunday. God bless you and have an amazing week.